Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Welcome, folks. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 20 September 2023. You're listening to Financial Survival, and I'm glad you're with us. Now, I mean that. We'll be joined at 20 after the hour with our the owner of the business, actually. We're going to talk to Melody Seastrom, but always we're going to talk to Wendy Wilson for the first 20 minutes. Let her share with you information that is always intriguing. I have to give her credit. She always finds something that's interesting to talk about. Every week she does it. So you have to know she puts time in on this. But anyway, we'll get right to the markets and the metals. Metals were all up today. Gold was up 756 to 1938.83. Silver's up 2 cents, 2339. Platinum was up $10.10, 948.40. Palladium was up 2250 to 1266.50. So palladium's starting to gain old ground again. Markets in the U.S., well, basically about all over, but all but one, or well, I guess all of them are down, well, all but one. Dow was down only 24 points, 34,493. NASDAQ was down 172 to 13,505. S&P was down 33 to 4,408. FTSE was down 1.55% to 18,712. DAX was up 0.75% to 15,781. Nikkei was down 0.66% to 33,023. Hang Seng was down 0.62 to 17,885. USDX was up 0.13 to 105.29. Oil was actually down $1.04 to 89.44. And 10-year yield was down 0.008 to 4.359%. So there you go. Metals all plus, markets basically all down. Nothing, not a huge change in anything, but still plugging along, and gold still only about $140 or less from another record. So we'll see what happens in the very near future. All right, let's go to our every week guest, Wendy Wilson. And Wendy, it's Wednesday again. Can you believe it, how fast this week went by?
I cannot, Pastor Butch. Always good to be with you, though, and all the listeners.
It's always good to have you. You're a treat to have on, and every time you come on, I learn something. So I'm going to shut up unless you do the talking now.
Okay. I thought we'd talk about branding healthcare. Do you know what branding is?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So people, products are branded. You know, you get a reputation. People look for it. So medical science, like any other business, is heavily marketed and branded. I recently spoke to a lady who thought TV ads for prescription medicine was inappropriate. It was inappropriate marketing, she said, to the public, which she said encouraged people to self-diagnose and pressure physicians for medicine they may not need. Now, for decades, the pharmaceutical companies tried to get their ads on TV and in print like magazines, but it was prohibited up until 1983. So branding drugs directly to the public through media outlets has increased pharmaceutical profits 20 to 30% per year.
Absolutely.
So doctors are complaining. Physicians have voiced some concerns about having information about diseases on the internet as patients bring this data up in their visits. And in particular, the website WebMD seems to irritate doctors the most. And a majority of physicians are telling patients, do not believe everything you read online.
And I'll tell you this too, Wendy, about every other commercial on TV is a drug medicine, a drug commercial.
You're absolutely right.
They're thick.
You are? Yeah, they are. So, well, April 2006, this is an interesting study in the National Library of Medicine Biotechnology Center. They published this report that was titled Pharmaceutical Marketing and the Invention of the Medical Customer. So they said the, quote, vehicles of promotion in the 1800s for medicine were the medical almanacs with, you know, they had an angle on, in the almanacs, they would have an ad that was an angle on disease awareness. But even in the 1800s, it appeared that, you know, medicine may have overstepped boundaries. And a psychologist by the name of William James, he said this, the medical advertisement is an abomination. The authors of these ads should be treated as public enemies and have no mercy shown. End of quote. So, yes, the innovation of the medical customer has become a sophisticated enterprise, and we're encouraged today to accept the drug ads that appear to be the primary airtime support for all news broadcasts and also your sports, as you pointed out. It's everywhere. So here's another quote from the National Library of Medicine. They said, pharmaceutical marketing is more closely aligned with consumer marketing in other industries than it is with medicine, which the consequences are not trivial. End of quote. Well, he's absolutely right. And drug ads are the most primetime broadcast ads, TV and radio, drug ads in most popular magazines, and even a pharmacy on every corner reminds us of the scope of this marketing enterprise. The National Library says this, because we believe that we owe corporations our wealth and well-being, we tend not to question corporations, their fundamental practices, and they tend to become invisible to us. Well, I personally, Pastor Butch, I don't believe I owe any well-being to the drug companies.
No way.
And our writers are actually describing drugs as contemporary disease mongering. That's what they said.
Very, very true. So, very true. I think it's very true.
Well, there's an art to advertising, Pastor Butch, as you probably know. So advertising is an art form, and in a sense that it motivates people to some sort of action, whether it is by showing positive benefit to a person or it shows that person they may be lacking something, so they actually make a purchase. So TV ads and the new sound bites have actually contributed to a lot of attention deficit problems in the general population. And the National Library study said Americans are said to spend, on average, 3 years of their lives watching television advertisements, and that the effect is that they are conditioned to want more and more, end of quote. So the heart of our pharmaceutical advertising is really geared towards the viewers' anxieties and dissatisfaction, which they are told can be addressed by the consuming of their products. So drug companies have helped millions of consumers build their products into their lifestyle. And you want to notice the ads that are kind of cartoon-like in design. It's an animation, a dreamlike world. Have you seen those, Pastor Butch? The drug companies?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you have you seen the one where they're stick people, but they're stick people made out of metal pipe? And the stick people are making decisions what medicine will address their digestive health. Well, it's kind of a play on words because, you know, we talk about our digestion as our plumbing. And here are these stick people built out of plumbing pipe in this ad. So it's almost like mocking in a way. So it's unusual. The ad is unusual, and it keeps people watching it. And these ads tend to appeal to certain demographics. But lifestyle drugs is pretty much a push that you probably could have figured out. If you analyze how drug companies market their products, you'll find that in the 1980s, they had created what are called lifestyle drug marketing techniques. So first they started with products to address sexual enhancement, and then they branched out from there. So the drug companies created this crossover effect where their product can be offered to a wider consumer base. An example would be antidepressants, which originally were marketed to patients with psychiatric conditions, and later antidepressants, they gained a little bit of a lifestyle marketing facelift with a reuptake inhibitor, and it was prescribed for social anxiety issues, obsessive compulsive disorders, premenstrual disorders, and a broad range of other conditions. So same drug, just kind of remarketed almost. So the pharmaceutical marketing and invention of the medical consumer article out of this journal, they said the importance of lifestyle marketing is that it is extended to the promotion of many maintenance drugs intended for daily lifelong consumption. Examples are medications for allergies, insomnia, and acid reflux. And as a result of this sequence of events, industry has opened the treatment of the inside of the body, the final frontier, if you will, to the same logic that governs all other marketing. End of quote. So, yes, consumers may be making important medical decisions based on marketing, which may have no solid foundation in scientific medicine, if you think about it. Theodore Levitt, now he's a former editor of the Harvard Business Review. He said this: once a firm becomes principally driven by marketing, the case for most companies in most industries since the 1980s, he says, then innovation becomes a means and elaboration of meaningless differences among the field of comparable Me Too products. He said more harmfully, expanding and altering the consumer's perception of disease is just as effective as evidently getting a lot easier than finding new cures. So why find new cures when we can cross-market the same drugs? See what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do.
All right. And this is also unchecked. It's been going on unchecked. Another masterpiece move of the drug companies is that they have, through marketing, helped their consumer to see themselves not as a patient, but as a consumer. And this has eroded a lot of the confidence in the expert opinion of the medical doctors. According to the New York Times, they published an article in November of 2003. They said, for a sizable group of people in their 20s and 30s, deciding on their own what drugs to take, in particular stimulants or antidepressants or psychiatric medications, is becoming the norm. And the emergence of this potentially dangerous situation demonstrates an unchecked expansion of the drug industry. End of quote. I would agree with that. Wow. I would definitely agree. And that was, you know, over a decade ago that was published. Nothing's changed. So here's the thing, though, Pastor Butch. When they're promoting consumer familiarity to drugs they're selling, when they do it in this regard, it is a huge, it has a huge and wide influence on pharmaceutical industry in various sectors. It extends to clinical trial administration, research publications, regulatory lobbying, physician and patient education, drug pricing, advertising and point of sale promotion, pharmacy distribution, drug compliance, and legal and ethical norms. So what they're doing touches all those areas. And celebrities are even now highlighted in drug ads. Have you seen that?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Right. Once they were outside the market, and now they're part of it, executing another layer of the patient-to-consumer conversation, see? So, and what's really upsetting to me is they're leveraging and exploiting, okay? The ethics of modern medicine is actually part of the marketing scheme drug companies are leveraging. So the overall view of the drug industry, according to the study report, was, quote, disease is an opportunity. And when I tell people that, there's this silence. they have to run that around in their brain a little bit. Disease is an opportunity. Almost like don't make any catastrophe a waste of time, you
right,
know, exploit
exactly.
it.
Right.
Yeah. So they went on to say this apparent complexity helps drug companies believe that they are performing a public service. End of quote. So you talk about an arrogant, narcissistic position. That's what they're standing on. So it is this twisted ethic that does not allow modern medicine really to cure disease or even the most destructive diseases of our time. So the drug companies see the conversations of patients and converting them to consumers as empowering people to, quote, self-determine through choice. But is it real? That's a good question. You know, is what they're hearing the truth? Well, according to the National Library of Medicine, they said, this choice is an illusion. For in our pursuit of a near utopian promise of perfect health, we have, without realizing it, given corporate marketers free rein to take control of the true instruments of our freedom, objectivity in science and ethics and fairness in healthcare, and the privilege to endow medicine with the autonomy to fulfill its oath to work for the benefit of the sick and to do no harm, end of quote. That's exactly what's happened. See? So if you believe in God, which I know you do, Pastor Butch, and you believe his words are true, the word of God is about truth. So when scripture tells us herbs are here for the service of man and healing of the nations, you know God can't lie. That's Psalms 104:14 and Revelations 22, verse 2. So when modern medicine retires the Hippocratic oath of first to do no harm because it's outdated and of no further use, then you know God is not in that kind of medicine. You know God's not having any part of that.
Well, well, you know, Wendy, you can almost say that the medicines today, and I know they're not addictive like an opioid necessarily, but they are addictive. We get used to taking them to keep the status quo. They don't cure us. They have to keep increasing them to keep us moving, but they're addictive in that sense.
Right. Well, basically, it's symptom management is what people have been conditioned to accept.
Yes.
It's not a cure at all. So you still have your disease, and they're going to try to make you as comfortable as possible with your disease until you actually finally die of it. So so when modern medicine says it can perfect the human immune system with serums, vaccines, and also improve on the genetic code of man, well, you know God has nothing to do with that kind of medicine at all. Man was created in God's image, and God's signature is on his creation. That's what your DNA is. That's God's signature on that individual. And when you go CRISPR it or alter it in any way, well, it's like removing the artist's signature on a painting. Say you're defacing it. So medicinal herbs really contain a lot of nutrition that assists the human body to heal itself. So herbs are really your quintessential cure. That's what they are. God says so. And I stand on that every day, all the time. So people need to investigate their therapies very carefully before they make decisions. Doctors are going on medical journals, which are typically just ads now that the drug companies get published. So there's really no... There's very little, double-blind, gold standard, studies done anymore that are truthful. Sorry to say. But we're coming down to the final day. Today's the last day of our Cleanse and Nourish sale at Apothecary Herbs. It's 25% off if people are interested in getting things for cold and flu season. Hey, this is the perfect time. They give us a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or they can visit us online. Details are online, too, on the sale at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. So, Pastor, it's unsad, but people that are taking the cardio drugs, and I got a confirmation from a chemist who used to work for the drug companies, Shane Ellison. These drugs weaken the cardio over a 10 or 15-year period, so you wind up with congestive heart failure.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
So they don't help in the long run. They actually kill you.
Well, okay, so you're taking a blood pressure medicine, and the brain sends a chemical signal to the heart. It's saying, I'm not getting oxygen-rich blood up here. So what a lot of your beta blockers do is just block that signal. And that's why doctors tell you don't ever go off this drug, because an abnormally strong signal is going to shoot down that nervous system and you'll probably check out. You'll probably have a heart attack. So they really didn't fix the blood pressure at all. They just turned off the fire alarm is what they did.
Oh, my goodness. All right, yeah. One more time, phone number.
866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com.
All righty. Wendy Wilson, thank you so much for joining us again today. I do appreciate you very much, and Lord willing, I'll see you next week.
Okay, my pleasure. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Folks, back at the break, a lot of news to cover. And, of course, we're joined with Melody Seastrom, the owner of Discount Gold and Silver. You can give her a call at 800-375-4188. You can give her a hard time and tell her I sent you over. Back at the break.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Alrighty, folks, we are back, and I'm glad you're with us today, and I sincerely do mean that. I really do. It's an honor and a privilege and a humbling situation that you all join us during the week and my broadcast tonight. I think most of you all have been around us long enough to know that I'm just no hillbilly, and Melody is pretty much a regular person, too, down-to-earth kind of people that are doing their best to tell you the truth and do what's right to help if we can in any way we possibly can. That's why Melody still does the program. Yes, she's made a living doing this for a lot of years now. But she actually cares for the people and cares enough to give the best deal she can every time. Not hype it up where you're spending $10,000 and getting $4,000 worth of product. This is what she does. You need to give her a call at 800-375-4188 and talk to her about this thing. Now, she's joining us right now. And Melody, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you. It always is. And I bet you got a lot on your mind.
I do?
Well, I bet you did. I didn't know. I thought maybe you were. Yeah.
Well, the Fed did decide to keep the rate steady today. So, but they warn of higher rates for a longer period of time. And so I don't think that was any big shock. I saw the NASDAQ got hit today. And, you know, it was down, you know, a couple hundred points. So, I don't know. It's still pretty much the same. They talk about the oil's fall ahead of the Fed rate. We saw the 10-year Treasury retreat from its high from 2007. You know, we're just going to have this day in and day out. They're going to do this. The markets are going to do that. markets are going to do this, they're going to do that. And it's a reactionary. It isn't any long-term values that is placed in these markets. It's basically a reactionary markets, because the government and the Federal Reserve and the too big to fail banks will do if something happens. So, and it's a little frustrating, but yet we see, you know, we continue to hear people talk about, oh, inflation is going down. And, you know, we've probably said this a million times on this program. Inflation isn't going down. It won't go down. It can't go down because of our monetary policy. So this is something that you just have to remember. So actually today was, it seems to be in the financial side a little bit to the quiet side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Metals, there's a lot
metals
of...
Metals are up a little bit. Metals are up a little bit, so...
Yeah. There's a lot of, you know, China news, you know, but it's not new news. It's, you know, to me, it's a lot of things isn't, you know, worth repeating. That's about it for the finances today. Weekly mortgage demand increase a little bit. There's been a strange surge in refinancing. I don't know what that means, but applications to refinance a home loan jumped 13% last week. Well, I don't know how strange that is. To me, I would think people would refinance a home if they could, because they're having financial problems and they need that money out of there. That's, you know, maybe they have some liquidity in there that they want, is what I'm thinking. But I don't know. So it is a little strange at these higher rates. Why would you refinance? The only way you'd refinance is to pull your liquidity out.
And that could be a temporary fix, but with the higher interest rates, you're going to pay more in the long run anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But, hey, if you're strapped,
I know,
and you need some cash, you're going to do it and worry about it later, thinking, well, maybe rates will drop later and then I'll refinance again and, you know, bring it back down. But so that is kind of interesting. And I think that's what it tells us, is people need the money. And
yes,
maybe
I
banks
agree.
Are not doing second home mortgages, you know, second mortgages on your home, or, you know, whatever that, what do they usually call it, Butch? It escapes me for the moment. Credit lines on your home.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah. Wartime alliance at risk as Poland and Ukraine fight over grain.
Yes, that's coming up here in a minute. Yes.
You got the info on that?
I mean, it's the tensions, I got a little bit of war news. Ukraine, Russia, North Korea. The tensions are increasing every day. Every day. And eventually, Melody, something's going to snap. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Somewhere, somehow, somebody, some nation is going to get mad enough to push a button, so to speak, and it's not going to be pretty. It's coming. World War III is already started. We're seeing the beginning of maybe the end of this world as we know it, or ever know it again. I pray I'm wrong on that, but I don't think I am. You know, let's talk about military, though. I'm sure everybody's seen this already. About the F-35.
I know.
I mean, how in the world do you lose a $10 million F-35? How do you do that? They blame on transponder. They blame all kinds of stuff. But my question is this. A pilot bailed out. The thing flew 80 miles further. Could he not maybe have made it back to base? I don't know what happened. I'm just wondering that. I mean, did he jump out too soon? The plane kept on flying. I mean, it's really kind of strange. I mean, is this a sign of our military starting to be more dysfunctional every day? I'm just asking. I don't know. But
we'll never get a straight answer.
No, that within 2 weeks, that'll be forgotten news.
Yeah.
We'll
just like the balloons that were satellites for
exactly
for
exactly.
China,
yeah, and just all just disappeared.
Nobody
into
mentions
thin air.
Those anymore.
But to lose an F-35, that's A pretty neat trick.
Those are stealth bombers.
They are.
And
they
so
have to
how
ask,
do you
ask
lose
people
it?
To find them. You know, the Pentagon asking, hey, if you see a spare plane crashing, give us a heads up. I mean, this is ridiculous.
And you know what? I don't believe what they found is truly what it is. Because wouldn't you have people saying, gee, I saw this thing flying over my head.
You would think there'd been some witnesses somewhere, and when it flew another
you
thing,
bet
now, you
there should be witnesses somewhere.
Yeah,
I mean,
makes you wonder. It does.
I mean, come on. I mean, the country is fairly populated, and you would think someone would have seen, even if it was in the middle of the Appalachian Mountains, somebody would have seen it.
You would think somebody would have heard it.
Or heard it, or saw it.
I don't know what happened. I just have to wonder why the pilot bailed out when the plane was still flying. I don't understand that. I really don't get it. So maybe I know nothing about planes. While I was in the military and stationed in Vietnam and Thailand, the best we had back then was Phantom 4s. They were nothing compared to F-35s. But that's all I know about them. I just know very little about planes. I was in the Air Force, but I wasn't in the plane flying business. So I don't know. But it makes me have to wonder. First off, why did he bail when that thing went another 80 miles? And how in the world did he lose track of it?
And how comes there's no witnesses?
Exactly. I totally agree.
Even where he bailed out, you'd think you'd see people saying, oh, yeah, I saw him come down.
He's supposed to bail out in somebody's backyard.
Is that where he did?
In the news. Yeah, supposed to be. He didn't land in somebody's backyard. Yeah. So I don't know, Mel. It's really strange. A lot of strange things happen. How a Chinese weather balloon can fly clear across country. Nobody said anything about it until it's passed over the country. It's really weird. But anyway, I want to share this very quickly. It's nothing to do with finance or anything, but I thought it was interesting. Study finds that constitutional carry laws reduce murder rates immediately. When states who pay, and the constitutional carry means you can carry a gun without a permit. Concealed or unconcealed. West Virginia is one of the states where you can do that. Upon the passage of constitutional carry laws, the crime rate drops immediately. Now, that's a fact. Folks, I'm making this. This is it's a study by John Lott at crimeresearch.org that found this out. John Moody has found that concealed carry laws may reduce murder rates in the long run. Now, the other, where you have to get a permit, you can carry, but you have to get a permit, takes a little longer for that to kick in and reduce murder, because it takes a while for that permit system to go through, people to apply for them and get them. But it also reduces crime in the long run. Where constitution carry, which allows people to carry guns without a permit, may have a larger effect on murder rates than right-to-carry laws, which require people to obtain a permit. So there you go. And I think like 27, 28 states now have constitutional carry. No permit needed. Which, by the way, is constitutional. But anyway, any comments, not Melody?
You know, my question, you know, I keep seeing these stories where these criminals are getting just to where they're going into people's garages when they're pulling in and trying to steal their vehicles. I've seen numerous of those. So, you know, these criminals are getting more and more brazen and so forth. So they're not concerned about people having weapons in their home.
And I would say a lot of those places where guns are restricted a lot, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, when is it going to be down and out when they have more and more home invasions? And they're just going to keep going. They're going to keep going another step. And you're going to get and until something happens. I mean, it's amazing how brazen these criminals are. It's just incredible.
And it's increased every day. Of course, we have more illegals coming in every day. We'll cover more of that in a minute also. But, you know, no one wants to ever pull a gun on somebody. No one in their right mind would ever do that. I don't. But I carry a gun.
No.
I carry
no, them. I mean, no. But, you know, it's just, you know, again, these are just signs of not a healthy nation.
It is. It truly is. And eventually, there's going to be bloodshed. And it's not going to be something somebody wants to do necessarily. But I carry a gun, and I carry it open so people can see it. They know, don't bother me. That's a warning for me to show people, this guy's arm. Don't bother him. But if you attack my wife or my granddaughter or grandson, I'm not going to sit down and ask you to say, please stop. I'm going to stop you. I'll do it if I can with my hands. If that isn't possible, folks, I carry a gun. I will defend my family. And I don't want to do that. But I will do it. And that's why I want people to know, Melody. I don't want, it's like a rattlesnake rattling. I don't want to bite you. Leave
right,
me alone.
Right.
You know? Anyway, different topic.
Anyway.
UAW boss warns strikes will expand Friday if automakers fail to make substantial progress in labor talks. The head of the United Auto Workers, Sean Fain, declared he will unleash additional strikes across manufacturing facilities of General Motors, Ford Motor Company, and Stellantis NV on Friday. This move is contingent on the three automakers not properly addressing the union's demands for a new four-year labor contract for 146,000 members. Either the big three get down to business and work with us to make progress in negotiations, or more locals will be called on to stand up and go out on strike. Fain said, we're not waiting around and we're not missing around. So noon on Friday, September 22nd, is a new deadline. We will see. We will see. And Stellantis could shutter 18 facilities on their latest offer to UAW. So they're not just going to be going on strike. Chrysler, as I always called them, is going to be closing down 18 facilities. If you're looking for further proof that union extortion isn't the greatest idea in history, behold Stellantis. In a recent bargaining move with the United Auto Workers Union, the automaker has floated a contract proposal that could result in a shuttering of 18 American facilities, according to CNBC, citing sources familiar with the strike discussions. The plan may also involve the rejuvenation of a one dormant vehicle assembly plant in Illinois, hardly a silver lining for the planned efficiency cuts Stellantis is floating. The proposal stands to impact thousands of unionized workers and reduce Stellantis' operational reach in North America. Both sides of the negotiating table appear divided over the company's ambition to modernize its parts and distribution network. Central to the proposal is the idea to discontinue 10 existing Mopar distribution centers spread throughout the U.S., consolidating them into larger Amazon-esque hubs. One such mega hub is being considered for the Belvidere assembly plant, which has been inactive since last February. So they're going to put them all under one roof, so to speak. Make it one big Amazon ordering center for auto parts. And thousands will be without work. It is what it is. I want to say. There's nothing I can add to that, Mel. I mean, if they decide to do it and they shut them down, that's just thousands more people that are making a living. Maybe not making the biggest living, but they're paying the bills and have food to eat on their table, and they're going to be laid off. Where do they go? What do they do? I mean, there's jobs out there, but most of them are service jobs. They don't pay that well. So what are they going to do, Melody? They're making
decent
money.
Then you get two jobs.
That's it. There you go.
Is it right? No, it isn't right. But you know what? I get tired of people saying, well, I didn't want to take that job because it doesn't pay enough. Well, you know what? It's better than not taking a job.
I've always said that $2 an hour is better than nothing an hour. Unless,
I know.
Course,
I don't get it.
Well, unless, of course, they go to welfare and they get free medical care, food stamps, medical care, and all that. And so maybe that's one of the reasons why they don't go back to work. They live better living off me and you.
I saw an article. It's just a headline. I didn't get a chance to read it, but it was about this article was concerned about young children working our farms, our crops. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? When did that start happening? You can't get it. I mean, we hear that all the time. The reason we need all these illegal aliens is because no Americans want to work in the fields. Oh, so now we got kids working in the fields? Is that why they're bringing over all these illegal aliens?
And what's wrong with the kids having the job?
Well, these are supposed to be really young kids, but I don't know.
I don't know. I was putting up pay when I was 12 years old and getting paid 50 cents an hour.
I know.
It didn't kill me. Matter of fact, it made me feel pretty good to be able to buy something of my own when I was 15 or 12, 13 years old.
Absolutely.
It'd be a little work ethic in me that I have never gotten over. Maybe that's why they want to stop it. They don't want young people working at all. I don't know.
But, yeah, it's just interesting. So, anyway. I did see where Ford made an agreement with the Canadians.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
I hear the music, Butch.
I hear it, too, and I think it's time to go out and come back after the break, folks. Don't you all go away. Got a lot more to talk about.
Such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Alrighty, folks, we are back, and during the break, Todd and I and Melody went through a lot of jobs we did when he was growing up. But anyway, we get back to some news. Melody mentioned
I didn't tell you mine. I didn't have a chance to.
Oh, okay. You won't tell us now so more people can hear?
No. I'll wait till the next break.
All right. You mentioned this other day, the great debt crisis of our lifetimes is approaching. As S&P Global recently noted, global debt had just hit $300 trillion for the first time in history. That wasn't jaw-dropping enough, this amount of debt represents 349% of global GDP. If you were to spread out this debt across the world population, across the world, folks, almost 8 billion, each man, woman, and child would owe over $36,000. Wow. But simply, this is an incomprehensibly massive debt bomb. Inflation has lit the fuse. You see, bond yields trade based on inflation, among other things. So once inflation entered the financial system in 2021, it was only a matter of time before bond yields began to rise. Higher bond yields means greater debt payments. And greater debt payment means that the debt becomes more difficult to service. At a yield of 0.25%, you can service $1 million worth of debt for $2,500. But a yield of 5%, That same debt, $1 million in debt, now costs $50,000 to service. Again, inflation lit the fuse of a global debt bomb in 2021. By the look of things, the fuse is almost burned completely away. $36,000, Melody, for a man, woman, and child on the planet. I mean, when you break it down to those numbers, now we got almost going on 8 billion people in the world. You break it down per person, that number comes out to be a pretty huge number, doesn't it?
It certainly does. It certainly does. And you know what? Jeffrey Gunlatch, or Gunlack, he has a nickname called the Bond King. I don't think he was the original Bond King, but they call him now that. He warns of demons on the horizon for stocks and predicts a dollar disaster and recession next year. He says the double mind capital boss sees a recession next year as companies and consumers feel the squeeze. He warns that the government spending during the next downturn could devastate the U.S. dollar. He says stock investors are not paying attention to demons on the horizon. And he issued a lot of warnings last week at a conference that he had attended. And he said he highlighted some of the signs of the faltering U.S. economy. He pointed to a recent wave of corporate layoffs, consumers feeling the squeeze, record amounts of credit card debt. He said he also talked about the chilling effects of the higher mortgage rates that we talk about here all the time on the housing market. And yesterday or Monday, we talked about the challenge for small businesses that have to refinance their debts. And it's just not small businesses that have to refinance their debts. So does multinational corporations. He says the economy is definitely weakening. And so, again, here's more signs of what is happening. And he says the debt coming due is going to be devastating. He said the Fed can't have interest rates at 5, 6% and hold them there for the next few years without bankrupting everything about this country. So,
I believe the chicken's finally come home to roost, Melody.
Yeah, and again, we don't know the time.
I mean, the Fed started back in 1933, wasn't it?
Pretty much. Well, they really started when they opened the Fed, but yeah, when they confiscated gold the first time, you betcha.
90 years ago.
Yep.
It took a long time for it to come to roost like this.
Yeah.
They played a lot of Ponzi schemes, and it's a pyramid scheme. It's all it is, and eventually it runs out. And those who are at the bottom are going to be eaten alive. That's what's happening, folks. And I know you're going to feel sorry for this next corporation, Melody. Moderna plunges after Pfizer sees just 24% of Americans seeking COVID boosters. They lost profits. I know you feel bad about that, Melody. I know you do. Moderna and Pfizer. The shares of mRNA maker Moderna, better known as one of the main sponsors of the U.S. Open tournament, which was won by a vocally unvaccinated Novak Djokovic, who was barred from participating previously due to his unwillingness to succumb to Moderna's only product and Democrat brainwashing, tumbled as much as 9%. So then the gentleman who would not be vaccinated was kicked out, actually ended up winning the U.S. Open. How about that? But anyway, speaking at a J.P. Morgan conference, Pfizer CFO David Denton said his company projected that just 24% of the U.S. population recommended to take the shots will decide to roll up their sleeves, representing a slight increase in take-up from the previous round of boosters. As a reference, 70.5% of the world population has forcibly received at least one dosage of a COVID-19 vaccine. So people are not as eager to jump into it this time. And they're starting to lose some profits. Poor, poor little things. I just feel so bad for them.
No, but yet there's those that will be the first one in line as soon as one comes out. It's amazing.
And,
you know, it's really amazing when the people who work for Moderna don't want them. That should tell you something right then and there.
Well, people who live by fear are easily manipulated, Melody, and I guess some people will do anything to save their lives. They'll sell their mother to save their life for another day or two. people that are born-again believers in Christ know that this is not the end of the whole thing. Once we leave this world, we get a better place to go to. We're not so afraid of dying. That's why they hate us so much, because they kill us, we win. We can't lose. So we're not afraid of you. And that bothers them. They want us kowtowing to their every whim. But it doesn't always work that way for those who believe in Jesus Christ. California passes new law, and then listen to this, establishing fast food minimum wage of $20 an hour. McDonald's to spend $250,000 more per restaurant per year. I wonder who ended up paying for that. The California legislature just passed a new bill to require all major fast food chains throughout the state to pay their employers at least $20 per hour. McDonald's, the world's largest fast food chain with 40,100 stores state worldwide, is really angry about it. The passage of Assembly Bill 1228, which is now on its way to Governor Gavin Newsom's desk, will result in a devastating financial blow to California's McDonald's franchises at a projected annual cost of $250,000 per McDonald's restaurant. According to the legislature behind AB 1228, the bill only affects the rich fast food places that have more than 60 locations nationwide. This is technically true, though it will likely inadvertently affect small fast food chains or individual family-owned restaurants because employees will choose to apply and work at McDonald's for $20 an hour versus making far less at theirs. Small restaurants will be forced to raise their wages just to get workers, is how one report put it. Another thing about AB 2028 does is create an entirely new government office comprised of 10-member council that will govern the implementation and enforcement of provisions. Wow. What do you think, Melody?
It's amazing.
And this is another one. Boy, I'll tell you what, California must be rolling in dough because they sure can't afford to spend it and force others to too. California legislature approves $25 per hour health care worker minimum wage bill. Now, this is one comment here, Melody. If I can make $20 an hour at McDonald's, I don't have to go to college or anything. I just go get a job flipping burgers, make $20 an hour. Why would I spend 4 to 6 or 8 years in college and have a debt for that to make $5 more an hour?
But you know what the sad thing is, Butch? I get it. $20 is not a living wage either.
It isn't.
But nobody's asking that question.
No, they're not. And no one asks the question is, when you raise minimum wage, why do prices go up?
That's just what's going to happen.
Sure,
but the people that are buying the McDonald's food, is their wages going up? No.
Nope.
So, the question is, why? But nobody asks the answers.
Well,
or
and
questions.
You have to wonder, are the politicians who do this, are they really that ignorant of financial matters? Or are they literally sold out on the idea of making total communism in this country? Which way is it? Are they trying to destroy the nation's economics? I mean, are they intentionally doing that, or do they really not? Or do they really believe that they're doing things to help people?
I think both. They're pretty bizarre. Thank you.
That's being polite. But we're running out of time so fast here. Rising ammunition prices could interfere with Western plans to arm Ukraine. Imagine that. I believe I read a book one time named General Smedley Butler wrote a book entitled War is a Racket. People get rich off of wars, folks. They always have.
Where the Clinton, I don't know if that's what you're going to talk about, but the Clinton Foundation, they're already signing in to go into Ukraine to help rebuild.
I haven't seen that one, no.
And there's other, large, the same typical people who help destroy these nations so they can go in there and clean them up and they can basically launder money through these foundations. It's really incredible. And they all happen at the same. So my question, though, is, Butch, if you have the Clinton Foundation, you got Hillary out there pitching it, you got Bill out there pitching it about all these monies are going to come in and it's all going to go to help rebuild Ukraine. And for education, even our own education department is talking about sending I don't know how many millions of dollars to help Ukrainian schools. My question is, do they know something we don't? Are they thinking this is their, that war is coming to an end? Why would they start talking about rebuilding at this point in time? Or do they just need to launder more money through there quickly?
Good point, both ways. I don't know.
So, I mean, don't you find it odd that all of a sudden now they're talking about rebuilding Ukraine when supposedly this Ukraine is still belly up? The war?
It does seem odd. But, you know, these people, and I have to give them credit, are generally a few steps ahead of us, Melody. They plan these things.
Well, yeah, because they plan the... you know, if I planned the destruction, I'd be a few steps ahead of everybody, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, the arms industry is going to make... Well, they are making billions more already because of this war. Former Pentagon officials have warned that arms makers are exploiting the war in Ukraine to price gouge the Department of Defense. Shay Assad, who worked as a Pentagon contract negotiator for 40 years, told 60 Minutes that such firms overcharge the DOD for everything from radar and missiles, helicopters, planes, submarines, and down to nuts and bolts. Atif Rashid, editor of Analyst News, observed in the weeks after the Russian invasion, the market capitalization of Raytheon technology shot up to $155 billion from $128 billion at the start of the year. Lockheed Martin started 2022 with $98 billion, but in the year, it reached $127 billion. It's the highest since records show. Northrop Grumman started the year at $61 billion, ended up at $84 billion. There are big bucks in war, folks. Big bucks in war. They don't care about the collateral damage. They don't care who dies or whatever. They make money off of this. They make all of it as quick as they can. And all I can say is, Melody, it's just greed. And the Bible still says that the love of money is the root of all evil. These people don't care who die or what it costs in any way at all, as long as they make profits. Sad, that's a sad thing to say, isn't it?
It certainly is.
And we're going to run out of time before we get a whole lot done, but you mentioned this cracking coalition. Polish President Duda snubs Zelensky at UN and calls Ukraine a drowning man. Now, we don't have time to get into this, but Ukraine and Poland are having disputes over grain and food prices, Hungary, yeah. Poland, and Slovakia, and Duda would not meet with Zelensky. He said, responding to the dispute, President Duda told the Polish press agency on the sidelines of the UN Assembly that although Poland wants to help Ukraine against Russia, Warsaw will not sink its own economy in the process, describing Ukraine as a drowning man. So there you go. Another one pointing to the end of the war? I don't know. It's kind of interesting. He said that, though. Maybe he sees the end coming also, Mildy.
I don't know. But, yeah, there's something going on, and, you know, but I don't know. But when we keep funneling money over there, Biden keeps asking for more and more money. And so, don't know.
We'll see.
But if you're looking for gold, yeah, go ahead.
We'll cover some more of this war news on Friday. You go ahead and take us out.
All right. 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call. And until then, we'll be back tomorrow. Be safe. Good night. And God bless.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams.